Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to the Paddock Podcast with Adam McCullough, Stephen Howson, Jay Motti, and me, Joe Smith. We are live with the Paddock Podcast every single Monday at 4 p.m. on YouTube. The Paddock Podcast title sponsor is Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming. Enjoy this week's show.
Jay here for Shepford Paddock, and this is the Paddock Podcast. And joining me are two titans of the Manchester United fan base, Mr. Joe Smith.
What are you doing?
You are titans. You are.
What is a titan? There?
It's from Greek mythology.
Oh, it's, nice. It's also, yeah. Is it not a moon?
It is a moon. I think it's one of the moons of Saturn, is it? Or
yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Also, get involved in the comments and let us know.
How are you doing, Jay?
I'm good, yeah. Not too bad, man.
What are we talking about today?
Well, first of all, we're going to introduce Alex Bagley. Oh. Stop being rude, eh? Mm. Yeah. Thanks, Housewives' favourite. Come on. So what we are. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah? Really good.
Are you part of Salford Massive yet?
Not yet.
I'm not going to tell anyone more specific, but he is moving near me and Eccles.
There's your pub code, so it's fine, yeah.
Do you know what? Someone stopped me, and I hope he's watching. I was walking to the bus stop the other day, and someone stopped me and went, yo, Jay. He went, you really do live in Eccles.
Dreams really do come true. I love that. Like, it's so it's mental not, that you live in Eccles.
Why would you lie about that? It's not lying.
Oh, bless him. Sort of lad. Yeah, what we're talking about anyway?
We'll talk about David De Gea a little bit. He's been in the news over the weekend.
Yeah.
Not in the Spain squad. Right. Weird contrasting talk. One of, he might be United's next captain. The other of, he shouldn't be starting again for United. So
that's like, you know, let's get married or split up.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the two options.
We're going to get, we either need to have a kid or we need to break up. Yeah. Do you know when someone proposes and then the other person goes no, and then they go, well, we've got to break up then.
Yeah.
You can't just go back to being just slightly less than proposed to. No. You have to go either yes or we're done.
I can't believe people propose and they don't know the answer they're going to get. That's crazy, isn't it?
Imagine.
Like, you must know. Like, why are you taking
but
that
gamble? But then here's the thing, Jay. Would it feel even better if you weren't certain before you did it?
No.
That risk reward?
No.
Because at some point you propose, you're basically already engaged.
Because if I got a no, we're having the biggest row ever.
Crisis talks.
I'm seeing my kids once a month if I'm lucky. And then it's just like my life's gone to the dogs. Right. Do you know what I mean? So I'd have to know.
So bring it back to David De Gea a little bit.
No, but I think we need to talk about this more, because what's worse is when you get live people live streaming it. Like, I've seen one guy in a shopping centre who got a no. People were filming it. Like, amazing. Everyone's walking around, he's proposed to his missus, and he's gone, nah, do you know what?
And here's the thing. Can I just say?
What?
I know this might be like against your principles or whatever. If you are a man or woman, and you are in public, privately do what you want, and you are in public and someone proposes to you, say yes.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, drag them to one side and go, I didn't want to do this in front of everyone because it would kill you,
Joe Smith,
but it's a no.
Advice.
Honestly, just Top don't man. Do it. If you're in a shopping centre, don't kill someone in public. Kill them in private.
That is sage advice.
Yeah. If it's at home and you just watch the end of Friends and you're crying because they've all put the keys on the desk or whatever and they've all left and then someone proposes, you go, get up, you twat.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. But don't do that in Selfridges. Do you know what I mean? Don't do that in the duty free of a ferry when you're doing it in public. Just say yes. Dragon Vaxxed. And go, what have what we said about this?
Yeah.
Jeez, you absolute fool.
Yeah. See, it was worth going down that avenue because you've given everyone a fantastic life lesson. You've probably saved some relationships.
I've saved marriages there.
You've saved marriages, and possibly lives. Yes, yeah. One or the other. Anyway, David De Gea.
Yeah.
There's two extremes, Alex Bagley, as Joe's just mentioned. He's either the captain of this ship or he needs to be sold.
And what we're going to do here, I want to go through...
That's the spectrum we're dealing with.
I want to go through Enrique's comments, obviously the Spain manager's comments, and then there's a really good thread on Twitter that sort of detailed a few of the stats behind De Gea this season, kind of suggesting that he might not be, you know, all he's cracked up to be this season, might not have been a return to glory that we thought. But go give sort of opinions first, and then I'll get into some of that in a few minutes.
The floor is yours, Senator.
It's mad, isn't it? Because I think the whole argument... Everyone goes is you're either want Dean Henderson to start every week or David De Gea. And I think you said a few times, what if the answer is I don't want either of them?
Yeah, there is a third way, as Bill Clinton said.
I'm not sure about Dean Henderson. I don't think he might be as good as everyone thinks he is. I think he thinks he's as good as everyone says. And I think you don't think he's a bad goalkeeper. But De Gea, I think all these things that get mentioned, especially about his distribution, his kicking, his throwing, everything. And also this, is he the best shot stopper or you know does he do... this one or two that makes him look a lot better than he is. I think that's a definite question as well. But I think this summer, I don't think that'll get resolved. I think that this is something for, I think there's other priorities in the squad. I think we'll midfielder will finally get sorted hopefully this summer. I think another defender, another forward, and I think goalkeeper is last on the list. I don't think there's many goalkeepers out there that you just go, let's go for. And I'm not sure anyone's convinced on Dean Henderson fully yet.
Just on that front, how important do you think the goalkeeper issue is? Because it seems like there's one school of thought, which Baggers has mentioned there, is that there might be an issue with the goalkeeper, but it's so far down the pecking order that it's not top of the list, whereas in an ideal world, then maybe it could get addressed. Do you feel it is?
I think it's higher up than some people are making out, personally. I mean, you know, let's get straight into Enrique's quote then, because I think he can say it better than me. And I know that a lot of, you know, De Gea quite rightly has a lot of fans. A lot of people love David De Gea. He has had some world-class seasons for Manchester United, seasons where arguably he was the best goalkeeper in the world, not just, you know, in the top, you know, two or three. I think he's been the best goalie in the world at times at United. But modern football isn't the same football that we were playing 10 years ago. And the expectations of a goalkeeper have modified and changed over the last decade, and I don't think De Gea has gone with that. This is Luis Enrique, who again is a treble-winning manager at Barcelona, has won the Champions League, is you know getting Spain back on track after a few rocky years, is as good as anyone in the world at you know picking teams to play out from the back and control possession. This isn't just me saying this. He said, I have to look at three starting goalkeepers, and I think that right now I have them. This is after De Gea was dropped from the Spain squad, so De Gea isn't one of these three goalkeepers. Honestly, I wouldn't have an issue with starting any of them. Unai has accumulated some interesting experience. He also says a goalkeeper should start and play and generate the first superiority. They must dominate the aerial play, right? I need a goalkeeper that transmits peace and calmness to me. That doesn't mean they won't make mistakes. Errors are part of football, but what they generate, I like a lot. The crucial thing there is a goalkeeper should start the play and generate the first superiority. They must dominate the aerial play. Now, if I can just go straight into this this thread on David De Gea that's on Twitter, talking about how much he gathers the ball and how his aerial superiority or lack thereof compares to other goalkeepers. So in terms of comparing him to goalkeepers in the Premier League, crosses stopped, he is in the sixth percentile, which means that 94% of goalkeepers are better than David De Gea at stopping crosses. He's in the bottom 6%. Okay. So he just does not dominate aerially, which obviously, you know, Luis Enrique knows, and that's what he's referencing there. He does not dominate the ball aerially. I'll go into, you know, we'll sort of go through this as we go along. But immediately, he's put three goalkeepers ahead of David De Gea. And you know, I think it's Unai Simon, David Raya, and Robert Sanchez, right? None of those three are as big a name as David De Gea. No. None of them are on a fraction of what he earns, or they're all on a fraction of what he earns. And yet, a man who's got the option to pick David De Gea without having to worry about his wages isn't even putting him in the squad ahead of those three. That is quite telling to me.
Baggers, where do you stand on that? I'll give you my opinion in a minute.
I mean, it's right. I mean, David De Gea's not claimed crosses since we signed him. I remember that first first game in the Premier League, Phil Jones telling him to get his elbows up.
Remember the Blackburn game we lost 3-2 with the Yakubu?
Yeah.
He was all over the gaffer.
It's just like, literally Phil Jones saying, you need to get your elbows up and start doing that because you're not going to win the ball doing what you were doing in Spain. There's obviously a worry there. But like I said, I'm just not sure we're in the position to replace him right now. I think there's contracts now. Me and Joe went through the contracts of the players.
It's a great event, by the way.
The ridiculousness of some of them. And De Gea seems to have, you know, passed on this. And you've got this first on $375,000 a week that you just can't move on now. And there's nowhere going to take him because everyone's got these question marks over him. And, you know, Barcelona have got a better goalkeeper. Real Madrid have got a better goalkeeper. They're not going to take him. PSG have just spent the money on Donnarumma and they've still got Neves, Keylor Navas there. So they've not exactly got, they've not got the issues. So they're the three that are going to take him.
Yeah. Who can afford him and
no
would want
else.
Him?
Can I, like, I get the argument and I've criticised David De Gea's distribution and more is the command of his area. I think
we'll come to his distribution. Yeah,
I think the command of his area has been a bugbear of mine really since 2011. I just thought this guy's just not. He bulked up a little bit as he got older and you thought, okay, maybe he's going to be a bit more physical. It didn't quite happen. But, you know, you think, okay, he's such a good shot stopper, as you mentioned there, from sort of 2000 and what? Are we saying 15 to 18?
Those four years,
if you count those years.
Yeah.
He was arguably the best goalkeeper in the world. So, you know, he gets away with it. But then, like, and I understand the arguments and all the rest of it, but has he not been hampered a little bit by his defence? Is it not? Absolutely. Because when we're looking at United and you look at, say, we won the title in 2013 with David De Gea in goal. Now, I don't think David De Gea was amazing that season. I think Rio Ferdinand and Nemanja Vidic were.
Yeah.
I think Rio Ferdinand are very underrated. I know he played only 28 games, but he was fantastic in those games. I thought we were very, very strong as a back four unit. I think that helped the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And I think now you're almost in the reverse where Luke Shaw's just had his worst Premier League season ever. Harry Maguire's just had his worst Premier League season ever. Rafael Varane's made of glass, which, you know, and I like Rafael Varane. The right back is a merry-go-round because everyone's poor.
Mm.
Now, okay, yeah, the goalkeeper's got to take responsibility, but that's terrible to have to stand behind as a goalkeeper at Manchester United. So are we being a little bit harsh on that front, or do you think that, no, despite all those things, you're still Manchester United's goalkeeper, you've still been the Manchester United's goalkeeper for 9 years, or sorry, 11 years, you should fix up a bit?
I think so, but the players you'd need to get in to correct that. So this high line issue that people keep mentioning about Man United and we can't play it and all this because of the players we've got and the goalkeeper's one of them that he doesn't want to start outside of his box when the other team got the ball and clear things like Alisson does and you think, where are those? Alisson, Edison, nearly in the other half sometimes with the ball. David De Gea is not going to do that. The centre-halves you'd need, you look at what Liverpool did, they got away with it, but they had Van Dijk and I think it was Joe Gomez played a lot of games when they had Karius behind him who had that pace to recover and had that. They could do a bit of both. To have someone of that pace, we haven't got any of those defenders in this. We've not got a ridiculously quick centre-half that you drop in there that can cover that. We're not going to play three at the back, or are we? That's the next question. To kind of cover for the fact that De Gea does it. I'm just not sure you've got the defenders, even if Maguire plays well, even if Varane plays well, even if Lindelof plays well, or even if you get one more in, that can make up for David De Gea not claiming crosses. I don't think there is a defender that does that.
You look at Liverpool and their crosses faced. So they're in the bottom 6% for crosses faced. They just don't concede many crosses because of how they set the game up. but then when you look at the crosses stopped percentage, Edison is in the top 25%. So when the ball does come in, he's better than 75% of goalkeepers at claiming it. So they don't concede that many crosses because they're so good. And yet, even with Van Dijk and Gomez and Konate and Matip in there, he still...
You said Alisson, sorry. You said
Alisson. Sorry, Edison. No, of course.
Alisson, right.
Even with all those players in there who are good in the air, who are quick, who are in good positions, he still claims more crosses than 75% of goal is.
Right.
Because it's part of commanding your box. So I agree with you that when Vidic and Ferdinand were there, he had less to do and his weaknesses were exposed less. But, you know, we're not going to get a team as good, a partnership as good as Ferdinand and Vidic, maybe ever again, let alone this season.
Yeah, that's a comment.
And I think the point almost goes back to when we talk about, actually, before we get to that, let's keep going through this a little bit because, you know, that's comparing him to other goalkeepers. When it comes to shots saved and the percentage of shots saved, apparently, again, back to this thread here, which is really good. David De Gea is very good at shopping mid-range shots. That's sort of between the 6-yard box and the 18-yard box. He's very good at that. Those sort of quick reaction saves where you can move one way and save it. His outside of the box are below average. His inside of the 6-yard box are below average. And the amount of shots he's conceding from inside the 6-yard box is way above average because he doesn't command that area very well.
Okay.
He's conceding more shots inside the box than most other goalkeepers in the league because he allows play to come into a 6-yard box because he doesn't prevent it, which is worrying. Yeah. And again, looking at outside the box, this is him as a sweeper goalkeeper. Defensive actions outside the penalty area. So this is when he comes outside the 18-yard box to do anything. He's in the, again, in the bottom 6th percentile of goalkeepers, which means that 94% of keepers are more willing to leave their box, clear the ball, pass it out, win a header, whatever, you know, get a tackle than he is. And the average distance of his defensive actions, as in how close to his goal line is he when he plays the ball, he is again in the bottom 27th percentile. And this is a Manchester United goalkeeper. We do have possession more often than not. You know, I know against City and Liverpool we get dominated, but most games we have a high percentage of possession, which means we would have the ball higher up the pitch. He's still very low down on where he's touching the ball. He just doesn't like to leave his box. And I think he's done so many good things for United, and he's won big trophies, and he's put in some of the most incredible saves, and I'll still say he's the best shot stopper I've ever seen. But we talk about replacing players. Spain can have David De Gea if they want to, and they put Unai Simon, David Raya and Robert Sanchez ahead of them. Could we not get a player of one of their quality before the start of next season?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For under 20 million quid.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We could do, but is the argument there that this selection is purely based on Luis Enrique's opinion?
Yeah.
It's not a definitive they are better than true. De Gea. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can't dismiss Luis Enrique. He gave us his CV. We all know what he did at Barcelona and what he did as a player for that matter. And, you know, he's doing well as well as you mentioned at Spain. But it is an opinion, isn't it? It is like he prefers those players.
Yep.
And also, you know, his style is a style of players. He wants those players because they suit his style better. So you're right, we could get one of them players, but the sort of the counter argument to that would be, well, maybe Erik ten Hag has a different opinion than Luis Enrique. Maybe Luis Enrique and Erik ten Hag don't agree, or maybe Erik ten Hag's system for Manchester United is different from Luis Enrique's system for Spain.
Yeah, and the reason I think, sorry.
No, no, sorry.
The reason I think the comparison is somewhat valid is because I think they both are possession first managers. I know they're not exactly the same as each other, the way they hold possession isn't the same, but they're both managers that rely on their defenders having a lot of the ball and therefore needing an outlet behind them occasionally when they get stuck in trouble. Sorry, go on.
I just this thing about David De Gea, and you're right about getting someone in. Maybe Ten Hag, again, you look at United's squad and without even going to a training session you can go, we need a midfielder. Like, you can look at that. Anyone can see that. I don't think you could say that about the goalkeepers. I think what maybe Ten Hag's going to do is go in and say, right, we're going to give them both training sessions. Let's see if they can do this. Give them first couple of weeks of pre-season before we even fly out. Let's see how they get on in my training sessions, me running it, and then we'll see about it. If it doesn't work out, I've got two goalkeepers here, and probably figure out one of them. And David De Gea has proven in the past he's had these peak seasons, and hopefully last season was a blip. Last season was like, you know, there's many players, Maguire, Rashford, Luke Shaw, that you're hoping is this was a problem last season. Confidence was down. New manager comes in. Everyone's a bit more settled. Maybe David De Gea steps up 5 or 10 more yards just because, you know, the coaches go, you can do it. Just trust yourself a bit more. And there's a bit more instilled in him. I'm hoping that's the case. Or the other option is He goes in, he does a few training sessions and go, wow, we need to fix this. And then he does it. And I think that, but I still think you can look at midfielder and go, I need a midfielder. I have to get a midfielder. We literally don't have anyone for that position, whether whatever you're going to do. You know, Fred McTominay have been good at times, but you need to upgrade on that. We need a forward because we've lost about six, it feels like, in the past 6 months. You need a forward, but we've got two goalkeepers. We've got one in David De Gea, who's been amazing, and Dean Henderson's shown glimpses. I'll figure this out, start of pre-season. I think that's maybe where he's at.
Can you just have a look at the comments as well, John? Just let us know what the general consensus is. Because do get involved in the comments. Let us know what you think about David De Gea, about the goalkeeping situation at Manchester United. Is it an issue? Mm. Do you think that it is a priority for Erik ten Hag? That's something that he needs to look at, especially if you've watched the way that, as Joe was mentioning there, Ajax play and the possession style of football they've got. Do we need to adjust that goalkeeper? Or do you feel that David De Gea was a contender, if not one of our player of the years?
Well, he won players' player.
Sorry, I knew he won one of them and Ronnie won the other one, which is like his fifth one in 7 years or something stupid. So are we being a little bit harsh on him?
I've got the comments here, but to your point, Alex, maybe there is a scenario where De Gea can get better. I know he's not a young player, but maybe there's no emphasis on claiming the ball, on passing the ball out, on those sorts of things up until now. Maybe if a manager's saying, you've got to do this or you're out, maybe he will get better. And Mark Catton says, I don't think he had a good season as people think he has. He's made some good saves, but we've conceded the most goals in the Premier League era. Again, I know I'm making the point that I think, you know, there are better options. I don't necessarily think goals conceded is entirely or even that much on the goalkeeper. I think goals conceded is the reason United went 14 games without conceding a goal wasn't because of Van der Sar, it's because of, you know, Neville, Vidic, Ferdinand, and Evra. Was it Neville there at the time? Whoever it was, it was the defence.
I think it was Rafael. Last season, was it Rafael De Silva?
That's the point there. Daniel Kirk says, De Gea shouted at the defence many times this year, much more of a leader than Harry, distributed a lot down to defenders, hiding, so don't get the De Gea hate. And I think that's a fair point. Personally, I don't think it's... I'm not trying to hate on anyone here. I'm not saying sack him is shit. I'm saying I think football is moving in a direction that De Gea is struggling to keep up with, and I think the stats are now starting to show that sort of consistently.
I mean, it is telling that when Pep went into City, his first big call was dropping Joe Hart and bringing in Claudio Bravo. That was the first... Because he didn't do it... I know there was times when Aguero didn't start against Barcelona or whatever, but that the backbone of that
title-winning
team was Kompany, was Aguero, was David Silva, even Yaya Toure. I know things went south, but the big call he made, the first one was, right, Joe Hart's out. Brought in Claudio Bravo, it was a bit of a disaster, and then replaced him with Edison. You know, he said, I'm going to replace my replacement, and the board were like, yeah, you can do what you want.
And
go on.
And that's the hope you want in Man United, is that Ten Hag is allowed to make a decision where you can risk, you know, you mentioned those goalkeepers there, you could get someone for under 20 million quid. Even Klopp did it. He brought Karius in and brought him in. He wasn't, you know, the best goalkeeper out there. He got him relatively cheap. But with the thought of, okay, he'll do for now and could be our goalkeeper. And then if it doesn't work out, I'm going to spend big when the chance comes in. It's Edison or Alisson. You bring that player in. Hopefully, that's one that you can do at United. That's what United have done worse than any other club. It's not just signing. It's making a mistake and getting, you know, Jose made his mistake with two centre-halves he bought. What are the third? And we went, no, you can't do that.
We need
to be able to go to Ten Hag. Buys a goalkeeper. Maybe he's a bit better. He played out of the back. Didn't work. Okay, we'll buy another one. Mm. We'll fix that. We've not done that for years. We did it with Ollie, signed Wan-Bissaka. And I think he wanted Trippier. I think he went, do you know what? I need to have a better football at right back. I've got someone I can get for free or for 10 million quid. Let's just go and do it. Mm. And we didn't. We went, nope, you've got him and you've got the low fella we bought as well. Deal with it. And I just think that that's what we've not done the last few years is taking a risk on a player, got someone in and then move on. If it doesn't work, get the next one in.
It is difficult with De Gea, isn't it? Because of the emotional attachment as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because I always feel bad criticising De Gea because there's been a time when he's been... When we've all done it on this channel, and not even just on the channel, on Twitter or in the pub or wherever, where you've had those arguments with rival fans, and the one player we've often had who would get in another team has been De Gea. There's a time when he was the only one I could point out in my team, maybe Pogba, and go, he'd get in your team. Mm-hmm. So there is that thing where you think, you know, are we being a bit harsh on the Spanish David? Do you know what I mean? He's one of the only ones, only him and Phil Jones, I think, who've won a title with us.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Ronnie as well, obviously, but, you know, sort of who stayed straight through. So there is that emotional attachment. And there's the other argument of, you know, this is still a guy who has been a contender and has won Players Player of the Year. It's just some of the games, some of the games where I watched De Gea, I think you could have done better.
Yeah,
I do find myself saying that quite a lot with De Gea, and there was a spell where I never said it with him.
No,
because he did the opposite. I go, how's he save that?
Yeah,
you know, one on one, or they're in the 6 yard box. You know, you remember the game against Liverpool, the 0-0.
Yeah,
you know, we're saving with his legs from about 3 yards out. You're like, how's he manage that one? Whereas now you think, oh, I go back to that. I know it was a little while ago, but the 3-3 against Everton,
yeah,
where, you know, he was at fault from practically all the goals.
Yeah.
And I think that was where Ollie went, I can't rely on this guy. Because Dean Henderson, I've said this a million times, I'll say it again. If David De Gea plays to the best of his ability, Dean Henderson gets nowhere near Manchester United's first team. He doesn't even, look, he gets the Carabao Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He doesn't get starting in the Premier League like he did. Like he became our number one. That wasn't because Dean Henderson was so amazing that he was suddenly, Ollie was like, I've got to put this kid in. It was because De Gea's levels had dropped. And I wonder whether that's had a bit of a psychological effect on him, is because you've been so good, so reliable, the, you know, one of the best goalkeepers, if not the best goalkeeper in the world, and all of a sudden you're getting dropped for a 23 or 24-year-old, whatever he was, and you're suddenly second-choice goalkeeper, despite the fact you're the highest-paid goalkeeper, I think, on the planet.
Yeah.
It's got to stink.
It has, definitely. And just before we move on, I just want to show this one picture. I know, and again, this is another negative picture, and I don't want this to just be, you know, we let's all hate David De Gea, because no one hates David De Gea. Yeah. We're huge fans of him. You're allowed to analyse
players' performances.
And again, we're introducing a concept here that you're going to love. I know this already.
Go on.
Expected passes.
You lost me already.
Right.
I'll tell you what, so my life was a lot better before XG was ever a thing.
So this is, I know, but let's just have a look at it anyway. So this is the idea of whether a pass, the difficulty of a pass being made or not.
Right.
So on the left there, you can see long passes. On the right, you can see short passes, right? At the top, a goalies who are good at both long and short passes, Handanovic, Alisson, Ederson, people, you know, you watch them, you know they're good at short and long passes.
Yeah.
At the bottom is bad at both.
You know, he's almost off the thing.
Lurking somewhere just off the scale is David De Gea. And this is more than 500 passes attempted, so it's not a small sample size. This is open play and goal kicks only. This is the accuracy and the completion of passes based on how difficult they were, you know, deemed to have been.
Right.
David De Gea is at the bottom of both clipped and launched passes.
Right.
So, and you see that when you're watching play, the amount of times he gets the ball and loses it or puts it out for a throw-in or gives it, you know, this isn't surprising. But when you see the difference compared to, you know, Alisson and Ederson, who again, it feels like they'd both be at the top of that, and they actually are. It's not just a feeling thing. Statistically, his distribution is weak.
I mean, that is, you know, it's not a pretty sight, and I feel bad for him looking at that because he's, you know, he's almost in his own little section. But
with threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I mean, you know, there is obviously, there's always been an issue, slight issue with David De Gea's distribution. I will say this, though, in his defence there, he's not helped out a lot of the time, is he?
No.
You know, I think more so than the crosses and commanding area, I can't blame the defence for that completely, because there's an element of the goalkeeper has to do that. But in terms of distribution, some of our defenders, when he's got the ball, the movement is terrible.
Well, Notch here makes a great point. But would that include moments when the defenders haven't made themselves available for a pass or a badly positioned for a pass? It doesn't include that. So let's factor that in.
Everton at home. I might be wrong. Everton at home, where?
Feels like everything's Everton.
Yeah. Where basically, it's always Everton. The crowd were fuming. There was no movement. In the end, he just started like booting it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then he invited Lindelof or whoever it was to come and take
for
it.
For a fight.
So you can have it then. And then he was doing the same. And you're like, what is this?
And this is the... And
I might be wrong again. I feel like it's the Everton game.
Thing with the defenders. And, you know, Harry Maguire's got a lot of stick for what he does on the ball. And you kind of think, is it just people not showing for him? And the fact that we've never had that midfielder that wants the ball. We don't play with a midfielder that wants the ball. Even Paul Pogba... remember the run of games, I think he did it 3 times in a row where he's come back in between lost the ball and conceded goals. Fred doesn't do it, McTominay doesn't do it, Matic does it, but you know, couldn't run for most of last season, so that was no good. And is that, we've said all along, if you get that midfielder in there, where De Gea can give it Maguire, because Maguire's comfortable, because he knows he can find
it's,
him.
It's Carl Anker made doing this point. That.
Sorry, it's the, everything's wrong Carl Anker all made the way
the point
through.
On the brim. He said, if you look at the spine of the team, you've got De Gea is probably the last goalkeeper you want behind someone like Maguire. Mm. And he's probably got Fred. He's probably the last midfielder you want in front of someone like Maguire. And then if you're going to play pressing, you probably... Ronaldo was the last person you'd want in front of Fred. It's like the way we were trying to play didn't make any sense with the players we've got. Because if you're going to do it like that, it isn't going to work. So I think you're right. Yeah, what you're saying is sort of stuck with me, what Carl was saying that day.
Yeah,
definitely. And again, let's not just completely... slide David De Gea off.
I mean,
he's a very good goalkeeper, and he isn't helped by the players around him.
No, he's
so
not.
Maybe if we get the right players, he can show more of that passing ability. But that does need to improve. And I think someone mentioned in the comments that Courtois wasn't far above him on the short and long passing. But Courtois offers other things, and he's just won the Champions League. They don't rely on that the same way. Real Madrid don't do that.
It's this thing that has been a bugbear man at Old Trafford this season, especially. It's just showing and wanting it, taking a bit of responsibility. Too many players just shirking responsibility and trying to sort of keep their own sort of corner of the world safe. Think, if I don't get this ball, if I just sort of stand behind this player, or if I'm not showing for it, or if I'm not running to demand it, then, I won't get in trouble or everyone won't hate on me. And it's just not good enough. And, one of the sort of most underrated attributes of Roy Keane, if you want to see how good Roy Keane was at this, go and watch that match against Juve. He sort of goes under the radar. He always wanted the ball, and he was brilliant at getting the ball off either the defenders or the goalkeeper and turning that into an attack. Just with one, carrying it for 5 yards and finding a pass, and then you're away. Just that little bit of thing where you go, okay, it's not an assist or a goal, so it's probably not up in your stats, but he's the one that does that arguably the most difficult thing. Gets the ball when it could be dangerous, and gets you going and makes it dangerous for the opposition. And I don't think we've got anyone at the minute who does that for Manchester United.
No.
I don't think we've got a defender who does it. We used to have defenders that used to do it, who used to carry the ball out. Rio used to carry the ball out. Stam used to do it. We haven't got anyone who's doing that at the minute. I think Maguire's gone in himself a little bit, although he used to do it. We haven't really got anyone. You mentioned Matic. He's probably the best at midfield-wise. But again, he's not here anymore, so that doesn't matter. And then you're not relying on your strikers to come get the ball off the goalkeeper. So that is a big sort of problem we've got at Manchester United.
Yeah, it is. We've just got a few super chats. Sushant says, don't get the De Gea hate. Fan base has become too fickle. Goalkeeper is the least of United's problems as things stand. Keep up the good work, lads. Abhinav Verma says, I mean, goalie is an issue. He's not physical from corners, but I'm surprised De Gea forgot how to pass. He used to know how to pass. And Abhinav Kanagat says, I think De Gea is a world-class shot stopper. With better defence, the stats will be better. He's not the best at spreading the ball, but who else have we got? Which again, we haven't got, I'm not saying Dean Henderson's much better, but maybe we just need to get someone else in. Rebecca Jade O'Sullivan said, it seems like people have forgot Dean benched De Gea. The only reason De Gea got back into the squad was because Dean had COVID and long COVID, yet not a sniff this season. Interesting that he hasn't come back in at all, because presumably he's recovered from long COVID now, I would assume and hope.
Yeah, I mean, do you think maybe Ralph looked at him when... especially with the derby game, Middlesbrough game. I mean, he didn't do much wrong. He didn't do much right either, did he? It was like, we lost on penalties and he didn't save any penalties. And, I'm not... That's
true,
not
but they had like two shots.
No, I know, but I'm just thinking like that was probably maybe his chance to do something special and go, hang on, here's what I'm about. And he just didn't do anything. He's not having to go to Dean Henderson. I don't blame the goalkeeper for not saving penalties. But I just think, Dean Henderson played, we got knocked out of the FA Cup by Middlesbrough. Maybe Ralph's gone. Well, you're not much good.
I think he just did that with everything. Just went, I'll just stick with this lot now.
Is that enough?
Can I just stop you a sec?
Go on.
Please do.
Father's Day's around the corner, Jay.
Yes, it is.
Do you know what else is around the corner?
Go on.
My lawnmower 4.0. Around the corner between my bum cheeks and my gooch. And that's where Manscaped come in, right? Yeah?
Because they're here to ensure that all father figures are looking daddy material this June. Eh? Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. That's one of the worst sentences I've ever read out loud. I can honestly tell you.
Did you say that you're looking daddy material, Jay? I don't even know what that means. What is daddy material?
I really should proofread these before I mention
that. That's something that the one I gave was about a wheelchair. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0, which includes their signature lawnmower 4.0, full enough, is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair. I'm doing that because it's in clothes. Yeah. From head to toe, this right here is no dad joke. Treat him and yourself and join the 4 million men worldwide, which is about 1 in 2, isn't it?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, who trust Manscaped trademarked with this exclusive offer. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, you got to use the code DEVILS20 at manscaped.com. Yeah. There should be a link in the description.
It's an easy gift for Father's Day.
It is. Quality gift.
Like, just go, right, Dad, I know it's a bit personal, but there you go. Sort you sent out, fella.
Yeah, you can, because we've all had those.
You're back on the market.
Incidents, aren't we?
Accidents.
Accidents and incidents. Yeah, yeah, I nearly burned down the house once with lighting candles so I could see under my nether regions to shave. But thankfully, with the LED lights on the old performance package, I don't need to light candles anymore.
No.
Or use torches.
Honestly, some of the ways Alex has tried trimming his pubes in the past.
Ridiculous.
He tried to use an old French guillotine that was in a Madame Tussauds.
Right.
But he almost took his nuts off doing that. He also, do you know that thing that where you put the paper in at school and you slide it across and it cuts the paper?
What is that? What's it called?
I don't know, like a lathe. Is it a lathe?
It's a guillotine.
A guillotine. Horizontal one.
You tried using that as well?
Yeah, he used to thread his butt hair into that and then side it across. That didn't work. Got kicked out of the art room for that. Yeah. Now he don't need any of that because he's got the lawnmower 4.0. They've also got loads of other stuff. They've got boxes. You've got weed whackers.
I'm at the age where I need the nose hair trimmer, weed whacker. Do you know what I mean? Because you can't be letting yourself go at my age. Come on. You've got the crop preserver, ball deodorant. We all need a bit of that. We've all smelled a lot better since we started using that. The toner, the performance boxer brief, and a travel bag to hold.
Just got
all
everything.
These goodies. It has got everything. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, dads love the comfort, don't they? Yeah. But summer's here. You want to feel good down there, man. Do you know what I mean?
It's getting to sweaty season as well.
It is. Probably,
reduce some surface area. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Get rid of it.
Trim it down. We're going on a tour, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I am not going near you if you don't look after down there.
I will do. I absolutely will do.
You better add.
Yeah. Because I'll smell, not because he don't want to touch it.
Sexual.
Yeah.
Just the smell.
Yeah. I'm not going now.
Head over to manscaped.com and use code DEVILS20. Link in the description for 20% off and free shipping. DEVILS20 at checkout. Your balls will thank you.
Thank you to
your dad will thank you as well.
Yes.
Yes.
What? I did get my father-in-law one.
Did you?
Thank me, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
How did he thank you? Viewing party.
Card.
Send me some pictures of the finished article. Anyway, enough about my father-in-law's genitalia. Let's talk about goalkeepers.
Should we talk about goalkeepers or should we talk about Matic?
All right, let's not talk about goalkeepers.
Most predictable transfer of all time that
happened. How good's that? Yeah, when he knew that contract was running out, he was thinking, I don't even need to wait for the phone call. I'm already getting some red, white and green underwear going.
Yeah.
I'm already getting ready for the Rome weather.
Yeah.
He knew it. Yeah. He already knew which coin shall I flick into the Trevi Fountain. He was working that out before Jose had even rang him because this was so obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Giving it that reunion, that three-union. That's the third time he's been under Jose. I just came up with that then.
Well done.
Do you think that would be a good signing for them? Do you give a shit?
Matic is a weird one for me because most of our signings post Fergie have been disappointing and poor. And he's not exactly Sean, but I don't think his faults are down to him, if that makes sense. We just bought him when he was, you know, he's only had a couple of years left in him, didn't he, really?
Yeah.
Couldn't play week in, week out. I thought when he did play, most of the time he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just a real shame that we didn't get him a few years earlier because we could have done with him. Mm. When he was sort of 26, 27. That sort of period where you had Matic, Herrera and Pogba in the midfield, when we won those 12 out of 14 games, whatever it was, you know, was as good as our midfields looked.
And you look at how City have done things.
Where they brought
Rodri in before they had to get rid of Fernandinho. Mm. And the last two or three seasons, they both played. And you've had Fernandinho playing 20 games, 25 games, starting some important ones. And we could have done that and kind of bed, you know, we're in this panic mode now where we've got no midfielders at all.
Mm.
You're like, if you'd have signed
just
someone
lost
2 years,
midfielders this summer.
If you'd have signed someone 2 years ago to go alongside Matic, you could have took a risk on someone who wasn't ready made or ready
it's
to go.
Mad that, innit? You forget that. We've lost 140 million quid's worth of midfielders. Like, for now. Like, do you know what I mean?
What, Mata, Matic, Pogba?
Oh, I forgot about Mata. If you can class him, yeah, I suppose you can class him as a midfielder. Sorry, I stand corrected. We've lost £200 million worth of midfielders for nowt.
Funny, isn't it?
Hey, it is funny if you're a City or Liverpool fan, not if you're a United
And
one.
Mata's the only one that's won anything. Oh, no, Pogba won the two.
I saw a tweet earlier. Matic Marcus Rashford is the only player left in the squad that started the Europa League final.
I know.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's weird. Yeah. Do you know what? I thought that was the dawn of a new era.
Yeah,
I thought,
me too. You know,
we're going to build on this. Jose will win the title. 5 years later,
we've won fuck all, and they've all fucked off. Jesus Christ.
And all man, we spent about £1 billion in the process since then. Do you know what I mean?
And right, most of the players we've got now wouldn't get into that team.
Yeah. How has that happened?
Mkhitaryan's going into Milan as well. I don't know where that's going.
The thing is, right, with Italian football, no disrespect to it, but it is an outlier. You can't say, like, I remember people going about Chris Smalling, right? Chris Smalling smashed it up at Roma, he's doing great, and Rura. And I liked Chris Smalling to a degree when he was at United, I didn't have an issue with him.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then he came and played against United and he was terrible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, that's why Chris Smalling's not United anymore.
Yeah.
Because he's not at the standard we need.
Because he has 8 games out of that season.
Yeah. And it's like, that was a reminder of why he's not still in a United shirt. Mm-hmm. But he was shining. Alexis Sanchez is arguably the worst ever signing we've made. And he went to Inter and won a title.
Mm.
Lukaku, who, despite having relatively okay numbers, 42 goals in 96 appearances for United,
didn't his agent.
No, I've had this argument so many times. Scored 9 in his first 10 and then scored 1 in his next 10. Like, it's that sort of thing.
Love that from Jay.
So he didn't live up to expectations. Goes to Inter, smashes it, gets loads of goals and wins the title.
Didn't he get the record for most goals in a debut season in the Serie A?
He beat Ronaldo.
Yeah,
it was like, you can't argue with those numbers.
No.
So I always think that Italian football, it's not something where you can go, oh, look, Ashley Young's really good now, let's get him back. It's not like that, is it?
No, not at all. It's not. And I don't think him being successful at Roma, you will see people saying we should have offered him a contract.
I've seen people like, you had the picture or whatever of Young, Sanchez, Lukaku, and saying like, imagine if we still had these. What are you on about?
No.
I'd rather not.
No.
Like, they didn't leave because, you know, they couldn't resist the law of Inter. They left because they weren't good enough for us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we had an £80 million Lukaku sitting on the bench when everyone was fit, or out on the wing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sanchez, all his first decision was basically, you're not playing for me anymore. Do you know what I mean? So, like, let's get a little bit of
You miss him every day, don't you, though, Sanchez?
I can't believe how bad he was for United.
I can't.
I, do you know what it was, right? You know you got to blame for that, don't you?
Ronaldo.
No, Matteo Darmian.
Go on then.
What?
Right.
Go
on. It's not his fault. In fact, you can blame Louis van Gaal. Do you remember we went to Arsenal? We were top of the league, or we were near the top. And Matteo Darmian, I think, played at left back, didn't he? Or he played right or left back. I think it was left back. And Sanchez absolutely just destroyed. Yeah,
he scored 2 in the first like 20 minutes.
Yeah, destroyed.
Oh, and we're 3-0 down after 25 minutes.
And everyone was like, oh my God. And it wasn't just a case of Darmian's having a stinker. He was like, this kid's amazing.
Right.
And then I think off the back and out, we thought, yeah, do you know what? He's worth the £7 million a day we're going to give him. And also, City wanted him. So that's our tactic, innit? City want him, get him.
That continues to be United's transfer policy to this very day, by the way.
City want Fred, get him. City want Maguire, get him.
City want Ronaldo, get him.
Yeah.
That's literally it.
Yeah.
You want Sanchez, we'll have that. Yeah. You want Fred, you want
Sancho
Ronaldo,
used to play. City, get him.
Yeah.
Like,
and we somehow miss out on all the good ones.
I know.
Rodri, what? No, leave him.
Good. We nearly got
Cancelo. No,
Cancelo. No, I don't want him.
Well, Gary Neville's like, get him. He's really good. Shut up, you.
Yeah. What do you know? You're shit at managing.
Yeah.
Donny van der Beek is someone I want to talk about.
Here we go.
I referred to you this morning in my
name. This is Fabrizio Romano. Go on.
You have a very good point or analogy or whatever you want to say it that I used.
Not like
me. Where you said that. I wouldn't say Donny van der Beek is a cult hero. I don't think that's right.
No.
But he has a section of the fan base. And I think you said in the past, and forgive me if I got this wrong, because this is what I said this morning, that it's like Marshall FC have now got a new poster boy in that Donny van der Beek has this sort of section of the United fan base who are convinced he's the answer to our problems. Yeah. And
the downtrodden messiah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, and if you ever see them at the gate, some of the game who's chanting his name or online, it's like Donny van der Beek.
Mm.
He's the one.
Yeah, there's always a downtrodden messiah
who
isn't being treated fairly, who's had their career ruined by United, and if only they got the respect they deserved, would be world class, and we'd all see how they're the best player in the world. Martial was it. Don is it. I don't know who he is at the minute. It might still be Donny.
It used to be Andres Pereira. Pereira was definitely it. Angel Gomez was it for a bit.
Yeah, Angel Gomez was it for a few weeks.
Put him in the team. He's the creator. He'll do everything.
Yeah.
Do you know what the thing with Donny van de Beek? And I like Donny van de Beek. He's all right. I don't know whether he's good enough.
Well,
or not.
Let me just get this tweet from Fabrizio Romano, who said Erik ten Hag has Donny van de Beek in his plans for next season as things stand. Being told he's now expected to play a role in the Manchester United team. So this is off the back of the idea that Ten Hag is basically saying, I know him, I like him, he's coming back.
Do you know what? The little sentence does a lot of heavy lifting there, though. As things stand.
Oh.
Because as things stand, we haven't gone and bought another midfielder or another attacking midfielder or another player that could potentially go in your position. You haven't had a proper look over some of the other players that are available. You haven't had a training session with them all. So as things stand, yes, that's a player you know and who did a very good job for you, Ajax, who's still, you know, relatively young. But you might see him in a shirt for United against a Premier League opposition, or you might see him in training, or you might buy some other players, and then that changes. So I don't know. I don't know whether you can sort of...
You're not speaking like someone who thinks Donny van de Beek is the answer to United's problems.
I just feel like with Donny van de Beek, There's this sort of thing of like, and we do it all the time at United, and don't even necessarily think it's like with signings. We have these signings that aren't good enough. I'm not saying he isn't good enough, but just hear me out. We have these players that you think are at that level and we need them there. But what happens is the team gets below that level and all of a sudden they're the answer to everything.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Ruben Neves, we've been linked with him. Do I think Ruben Neves is good enough? No. But we won't buy anyone, and then you get to the point where, well, he's better than McTominay, it's a game. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. And I think with Donny van de Beek, we've seen glimpses. You can argue he's not had a decent run in the team, but I feel that when he has had those opportunities where you think this could be it for you, you know, Leicester in the FA Cup or Leicester in the league, and he's just not quite taking it. And it is tough because you do need more than one or two games, and there has been games where he's done well, but I just feel like he's not quite done enough where you go, get him in, he's got to go in. And it's not necessarily his fault. I just think sometimes it's comical. I remember at the Manchester Derby, everyone, you were there, weren't you, in CRA with us? Everyone's singing his name, right? Donny van de Beek, van de Beek, Donny van de Beek, right? Constantly for about half an hour. He comes on, his first touch of the ball, he lays it on a plate for Phil Foden, who thankfully misses.
Mm.
And you're like, well, what's all that about? But, you know, it's that thing of he's the answer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that's what he normally does. He's normally a lot better than that. But my point is, a lot of fans are putting it on him, I think, because we're watching Dross.
Mm.
And you think, well, he can't be much worse.
Yeah, well, that's that argument. He's better than we've got now.
Mm.
Doesn't mean, I mean, maybe because he's already in the squad, it's a slightly different concept of, you know, we don't have to go out and spend money on him now. I know we have done already, but he's better than we've got now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's as good as we need him to be. There's another layer we can be looking at here. We need someone that is as good as the players we're trying to beat, not as good as the players who are there now. Just because Fred and McTominay aren't good enough doesn't mean we should buy someone that is 5% better than them because, well, they're better than them. Yeah, he is, but he's not as good as Rodri. He's not as good as, you know, the players at Liverpool. We need players that good, not just slightly better than the substandard players we currently have.
It's annoying as well because he went to Everton and we spoke to Matt Jones, didn't we, from the Blue Room. I mentioned this again this morning, who was raving about him. He said, Donny van de Beek's class. You know, he was, when I watched him, I can't believe, you know, United have let him go almost. But I think he missed 8 out of 15 games in the Premier League for him. So obviously, you know, he played less than half the games he was available for because of injury. And that's a bit annoying because we could have done with him going there and settling this argument once and for all. If he plays 15 games for Everton and he plays well and you go, he is Premier League quality and he's in a team that Everton are struggling, get him in our team. Get him surrounded by the likes of Bruno and Ronaldo and Sancho and let him show us what he can do there. But he's not answered anything because he's not played.
I think one thing Ralph said all the way through was a load of these players aren't physical enough, and that's not just tackling. But Donny van de Beek getting injured, you know, having 8 games out kind of thing for that. That's, you can't have that when you're trying to get a run in the team. No. And also, you know, how many City and Liverpool players get injured? It's not a lot.
And some of it's bad luck, but unfortunately that's it. Yeah. And like Jesse Lingard had an unbelievable loan spell at West Ham. Didn't mean he got back in the squad.
No. You know, look at that loan spell, you think you have got to put him back in the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet he didn't.
Who's your Wally of the Week, Jay?
I mean,
Is it former Prime Minister Boris Johnson?
Is he gonna? Does it matter this vote of no confidence? He'll probably still survive, won't we? Come back to me. Do baggers first. I'm gonna have to,
Alex,
have a think. There's a couple of concerns.
Gonna have to go. Yours in the comments for the golfers that are doing this Saudi, essentially Super League for golf. They've been paired up by Saudi and done that. It's greedy. I don't get it. You get a load of money playing good golf on the PGA Tour, and they decided, no, I'm just going to go and do this Super League style thing, guaranteed cash, guaranteed bonuses, and it's all a bit mad. And how it's been, you know, there's half the reporters really going into the, you know, the size of it with Saudi Arabia and stuff, and the rest of them just going, well, they need to be able to earn as much money as they can, and that's just, there's no balance with it. It's the same thing with, again, similar to Newcastle ownership, all that kind of stuff, and but this whole Super League format, I don't think is right for any sport. So it's just ridiculous.
Can I read you a sentence and you can work out, you can guess who I'm talking about and therefore my word of the week?
Yeah, go on.
Former Liverpool star explains why Manchester United should have hired England boss Gareth Southgate over Erik Ten Hag as their new manager.
That would be Danny Murphy.
That would be, yeah. Danny Murphy, actually.
I've already,
yeah,
quote tweeted it. Well, I didn't quote, I screenshotted it because I won't give him the clicks.
Yeah.
You've beat me to it. I was just sat here thinking, does he make the cut? Because that is just nonsense, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, you know, Gareth Southgate, yeah, get him in because he's done, you know, that well with England.
Also, like, I wouldn't even judge. I think he's done better for England than a lot of people want to admit. But he's not that good as a club manager.
No.
They're two different things.
He got relegated to Middlesbrough, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's had Danny Murphy saying all he was at the top level. He's never proven himself to be a top manager at any club. Just mad, isn't it? Just like, I would hire Gareth Southgate for Man United over Ten Hag. What are you talking about?
He manages
about based
big names.
On what?
What?
Just so silly. So, yeah, stupid.
Can I? I'm sorry to do it because I don't like giving him attention. I've blocked him. He's not blocked me, but I blocked him.
Can we guess who it is?
Yeah, everyone.
Trump.
No, he's not on Twitter anymore.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I'll give you a clue. It's someone Steve used to slang off constantly. Until,
oh, Piers Morgan.
Yeah. Morgan. Like, the whole, just get over Meghan Markle, man.
It's
like,
odd,
seriously,
it's well odd,
stop it. Like, if that was my daughter, I'd be going out of his house.
What,
like,
if Piers Morgan was your daughter?
Yeah. If that was my daughter, would, you know, seriously be having a word with myself, to be honest with you, spawning that absolute specimen. But he's just obsessed.
It's weird, isn't,
like,
it?
Like, and it's not even like, it's like, it's a little bit odd now. It's, do you know, just ridiculous.
Do you know when you see headlines in the newspaper, and I'm going to go a bit crass here, go but on, when you see headlines such as, I don't know how to phrase this without just getting in the real dog weeds here.
We're in the dirt.
But I'll just do it in a sort of, in a theoretical sense. It's anti-X protester caught doing X.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. Anti-abortion, and it's like, has caught, you know, making their mistress have an abortion. This, it's getting to the point with Piers Morgan where he loves her.
Yeah.
The only explanation of how much he gives a fuck about everything she does, and he slags her off all the time, he could not fancy her anymore.
No.
That is it. That is the only explanation. Because if it was a person that you really gave this much of a shit about, you can't care this much about someone you don't know, that doesn't care about you, that has no impact on your life, unless you love them.
No.
I honestly can't imagine it's anything other than that.
No, I think
how
you're
can
right.
you care?
No.
If I hated Meghan Markle, I'd just ignore her.
And it's like this sort of false equivalency. Like, oh, Meghan and Prince Andrew brought shame and embarrassment to the Queen. No, they've both not done the same.
No.
One's being black and the other one's a nonce. Yeah. That's the difference.
The question is, Jay, which is worse? Like, that's literally Piers Morgan's life. Here's the question for everyone. What's worse?
Marrying a black woman
or
fiddling children?
That's honestly his thought.
I can't decide.
No, he can't.
Like, what are you on about, bro? It's not the same thing. No. Stop putting him in the same sentence.
It's unbelievable.
Like, that is literally what he says. Her Majesty's got a lot to deal with this year. With Prince Andrew and with Meghan.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Like, what are you on about? It's just nonsense. And yeah, he's obsessive. He's weird. And I'm not going to say anymore because I'm probably already legally questionable.
Yeah. Fuck's sake. It's like saying Fauci and Shipman were both doctors.
Yeah, they were,
but they didn't do the same thing.
Just a thought.
Yeah,
just putting it out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah. Like, our doctor's the problem.
Yeah.
The murderers are the problem.
Thanks to everyone who got involved in the comments and the chat. Make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe. Alex Bagley, where can people find you?
Twitter, baggers_Alex.
Twitter. That's where you can find him. We went proper mank then. I like it. Joe Smith, where can people find you?
What's Joe Smith, 93 on Twitter or on the sloppy Joe's podcast. Check it out on YouTube.
Yeah, make sure you're checking out these two guys. You know where to find me. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Big thanks to Manscaped as well for sponsoring us. And thanks to you lot for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.